Welcome to the Anxious Attachment Solution. I am your host, Life Coach Amber Lynn. I teach women how to take back their brain from anxious attachment patterns with love and compassion. It is my mission to help every anxiously attached woman understand their brain, stop the anxious cycle, and finally...
Hello and welcome to Anxious Attachment Solution. I am your host, Life Coach Amber Lynn. And I help people like me with anxious attachment rewire their brain to develop healthier relationship habits while breaking their anxious attachment cycle. I am currently doing a series on anxious to aware. Most of you that listen to my podcast know you have anxious attachment. Today I want to talk to some people who may not be sure if they have anxious attachment or if this podcast is or is not for them. Trust me, if you already know you have anxious attachment, this podcast is still for you. It will be very powerful, so don't leave. This is going to be a two-part series. In today's podcast and next week's episode, I'll be talking about 10 signs that you might have anxious attachment and what you can do to stop these patterns. So, you might have anxious attachment if you fear being abandoned. You fear rejection. You overthink everything. You seek constant reassurance that everything is okay. You always search for red flags or problems in relationships, even when things appear calm and peaceful. You have low self-esteem in relationships. You never feel good enough, and you feel too much in relationships. You people please rather than talk about your actual needs. You feel like you are on an emotional roller coaster with high intensities and low lows. You find it hard to trust yourself and other people you're in relationship with. You mistake anxious intensity and obsession for real love and connection, sometimes thinking calm relationships are boring. Does any of this resonate with you? If so, before I begin this episode, I want you to know you are not alone. You are in the right place. No, you are not crazy, and you are not stuck here permanently. I have been where you are. I have clients who have been where you are. I know how you feel, and it does not have to be like this forever. Your nervous system has a hard wiring that is working against your true desire to feel loved and valued in relationships. Your brain is full of stories that are working against your desire to have a healthy, loving relationship. The good news is I can help you. I can help you calm these fears and break your anxious attachment cycle using the secure method. Going from anxious to aware to secure, I help my clients achieve their relationship goals by learning how to use important tools such as thought work, self-regulation, and belief creation. I can help you with these obstacles. In this podcast, I'm going to talk a little bit about each of these obstacles and each of these signs that you might have anxious attachment, what they may look like, sound like, and why they are the problem, and how to stop them. They are the problem. You are not the problem. So you have fear of abandonment. You often worry your partner will leave you, even if there are no signs of this being true. You try to be perfect and do everything right so they will love you and stay. Deep down, you want love while simultaneously believing that no one will ever truly stay once they know all of you. Does this resonate with you? If it does, I want you to know that I see you and I know that that fear feels real. Your brain right now is wired to believe this. The problem with this belief is that it creates a foundation of fear and uncertainty. When this fear is triggered, it creates an urgency and a panic in your nervous system. This fear runs the show, often leaving you feeling overwhelmed and irrational at times. Our fear of abandonment is rooted in not feeling good enough and not feeling secure in ourselves. Through my secure method, I help my clients learn how to pause when they feel this fear. I teach them what this fear really is. When we look at it objectively, as the observer, it is just a sensation in our body that we have to learn how to feel. Learn how to process, regulate, and allow. We can learn to allow the fear without believing the thoughts they're going to leave us, without believing the story we are in danger and no one will ever love us. It takes practice, but we do this by understanding that when our nervous or our anxious attachment is triggered, our nervous system is triggered, our brain offers us unhelpful, unhealthy thoughts that create this fear. In these moments when we feel fear of abandonment, fear of rejection, fear of anything, and it causes us to feel panicked, that is our sign, that is our cue to pause. We need to ask ourselves, what do we need in this moment? What can I do for myself right now? Because our hardwired response is to take any known action to stop feeling this way, to just action our way out of this feeling. So become aware of what your body wants to do. I literally talk back to my brain and I teach my clients how to say, hey, I see you. I know we feel like we are in danger right now, but we're not. I see all these thoughts that we're thinking, and of course we feel panicked and overwhelmed with these thoughts. These thoughts are telling us we are not lovable. We are not worthy, but it just isn't true. What do we need right now to be able to feel fear? From ourselves, not from anyone else. Oftentimes our brain wants to, you know, have other people solve this problem for us. This is our cue to pause, get a cold drink of water, and process. Our anxiously attached brain is not going to want to do this. A lot of work that I do with my clients is learning to do the hard things that our brain does not want to do. Our brain and our body has not learned how to be a safe place for our emotions. But this is where our biggest and greatest work is, learning how to be a safe place for all of our emotions. So when my brain doesn't want to do the self-regulation, when it doesn't want to pause, I don't take this to mean I shouldn't pause. This means I definitely need to. My brain wants comfort and peace. It doesn't understand that our current pattern fuels the anxiety and that we are truly trying to break this cycle. This is also when I have taken time to write down my thoughts or just sit with myself and see what thoughts are coming up, from anxious to aware. What is my brain telling me is happening right now versus what really is happening? So when I feel fear, panic, or urgency, this is another cue in my body that my anxious attachment just might be triggered and may be in the driver's seat. And I may want to pull over and take that seat back. I may want to implement some strategy to calm my nervous system so that I can get back into the driver's seat. I always remember the quote, when emotions are high, intelligence is low. I turn it into, when my fear is high, my vision of reality is low or blurry. I am not able to accurately process what is happening with just facts because I have too much fear and overwhelm that my anxious attachment now has started creating. A new story that's rooted in fear instead of reporting actual facts of what is actually happening. So ask yourself, what am I thinking is going to happen? What do I feel in my body? Label the feelings, the sensations in your body. That is the beginning that is creating the fear. Now ask yourself, what is really happening? What were the actual words that person said? What are the actual actions that took place? What do you need from yourself to feel safe? When you are calmer and not triggered, spend time rewriting your fear narrative. Us with anxious attachment have deep-rooted beliefs that we are not good enough, that once people really know us, they will leave us. No one could ever love us. These narratives work against us and fuel the fear. We also have been taught that our emotions and needs are too much. We have taught our brain and our body that we're not capable of handling our own emotions. We have to take time to rewrite these narratives. Rewrite your narrative from, I can't handle my fear is too big, I need reassurance, from, to, I'm capable of feeling fear. I feel fear, but I am not actually in danger right now. My feelings feel big, and I can trust myself to feel them. I am building my trust within myself. Love narrative from not enough to too much. I am worthy. I am inherently worthy. There is nothing I can do or not do to be worthy. I am enough as I am because my soul is inherently worthy. Some people can love me, and some people have loved me. My person will love me and not leave me. I am learning to love myself. I can love all of me. One day I will be able to love all of me, even the hardest parts. These are sample thoughts I have used. However, you will have to find what thoughts feel good to you. Some thoughts that work for me may not work for you. So you have to spend time with yourself and try these thoughts on. How does it make you feel? Does it feel just a little bit possible to believe this? Does it feel like it's believable? Even if it doesn't yet feel believable, I hold this belief for all of my clients until they can believe it themselves, until their brain is really ready to receive this truth. And I hold this truth for you too, dear podcast listeners. Your soul already is ready to accept this truth because your soul already knows your worth. You were born with it. Your brain and your human experience just got some things muddled. You can choose any thought and practice it every day to increase your belief. Until then, I will believe it and hold it for you. I also have an entire episode on fear of abandonment, so you may want to go listen to it if you want more in-depth explanation on fear. So you overthink everything, huh? I don't need to go into too much of what it looks like because I know if you overthink, you know what that looks like. So to keep it brief, you replay conversations in your head. You wonder if you said something wrong. You notice and analyze tone of voice, body language, short replies, silence may even send you into a spiral of self-doubt. So I have an entire episode on overthinking as well, so you might want to go listen to it. But here I will talk briefly about what you can do. You may not notice right away that you are being in this loop of overthinking. What you may notice is a feeling of overwhelm or a feeling of discomfort. That is your cue to check in and see, what am I thinking right now? What am I making this mean? Write down all of the thoughts. Do a thought download. See all of your thoughts. How are they making you feel? What I like to focus on with my clients when it comes to overthinking is that a lot of the time we are thinking thoughts that are not helping us or serving us to show up how we want to show up in this moment. So before we act, we need to pause and see what our thoughts that we're thinking and how does it make me feel. Then I remind myself that just because my brain offered me these thoughts, one, they may not even be true, two, thinking what ifs is causing me suffering, and three, analyzing something without actually talking to the person is just a lot of unhelpful thoughts that create unnecessary discomfort. And four, it is my thoughts and not what happened that is causing me to feel these feelings right now. So just because I have urgency or now I feel panic, I do not have to react right now. What I actually need to do is process my feelings and look at my thoughts. A lot of my overthinking leads to the story of not being good enough and needing to prove something or earn something. A lot of my overthinking thoughts reveal my belief that I have to be perfect in relationships in order to feel and be loved. So, for example, if I make a mistake, if I feel like someone is upset at me, or if I feel like I didn't do something perfect enough, which is let's just be real, then there's this problem, and the problem is me. I have to hurry up and fix things, which is just not true. I end up creating more problems with this story and causing actual problems in my relationship. When we put so much pressure on ourselves to be perfect because we have the belief that we are not good enough and we will be abandoned, every minor infraction, every minor miscommunication or hiccup or even a small mistake is a big mistake and creates so much urgency and panic to fix or get defensive and overjustify, you know, the unhealthy habits. My thoughts, I made a mistake, so I'm not good enough. My partner no longer really loves me. I'm not a good partner. I am not a good parent. I should have, and insert anything that would have made it better or would have made me look perfect. Too high expectations. When I deserve grace, compassion, and human expectations. But I place all this self-imposed pressure on me because I feel like I need to be perfect in order to be loved. So if you find yourself in an overthinking spiral, ask yourself, drop into your body, how is this making me feel? What thoughts am I thinking? What is the story my brain is telling me? What is my brain making this mean about my worthiness, my lovability? Is my brain punishing me for not being perfect? What is my brain making this mean? Is one of the things that I love to use to bring awareness around what is happening. Self-regulation tool. Pause, drink ice cold water, or go for a walk. The mindset work here is writing down your thoughts. Give yourself compassion. Of course you're overthinking these thoughts. Your anxious attachment has been triggered. If you felt calm and peaceful, what would you think about this situation? If you knew you'd be okay either way, if you knew your partner would love you no matter what, would this be a big deal or a big problem? Would this mistake be a problem? Number 3, do you seek constant reassurance? This is another topic that I spent an entire podcast episode on. I think it's episode 42, Stop Seeking Validation from Other People. So you don't forget to check that out. You might have anxious attachment if you are constantly seeking reassurance that someone still loves you after distance has been felt, after miscommunication or an argument, or even seeking reassurance after you have asked for what you need. You may not only need reassurance from your partner, but then you may find yourself sharing a story over and over again with a friend, venting and seeking validation from other people that you are right and that you're not crazy. It may look different for everyone. But in general, it looks like literally asking someone, do you miss me? Why aren't you responding to me? Do you still love me? Are we okay? To soothe the anxiousness that you feel inside. You feel like you have to have validation from your partner because you don't feel safe to give it to yourself. You cannot trust your own understanding. You doubt your own interpretation of what happened. A lot of my clients struggle with seeking validation for two reasons. One, they don't trust their own reactions. They have learned that their body, their gut, their brain are not reliable. So they have come to not trust themselves. They were taught that their caregivers could not handle their emotions, so they now can't handle or trust their emotions. Two, they have anxious thoughts that are running wild and a brain that tells them only the other person can calm them. Only the other person can reassure them or soothe this panic. Seeking reassurance from other people may not seem like a big deal or a problem, but it keeps that anxious cycle going. It feeds the anxiety instead of calming it, while undermining self-trust and puts unnecessary pressure on relationships, while giving the other person control of our emotions, while simultaneously opting out of our own responsibility to self-regulate. Only they have the power to make us feel better. And when we do that, we're taking the control out of our, like, away from ourselves. We have to learn how to take the control and the power back and be the one in charge of our safety. So to self-regulate here is learning how to soothe ourselves. And it's so hard when our anxious thoughts are running. So we have to step into awareness. We have to become the observer. What I have my clients do is become the observer of their thoughts and the need to like reach out. Write down all of your panic thoughts. What's the worst case scenario? Okay, now we have that. It's just our anxious attachment. Prompts to ask yourself, what do I know to actually be true right now? Write down only the actual facts, not what your brain's making it mean, not the beliefs that you think. Write down the actual facts that if you told everyone, everyone would agree that those facts are real. Now, looking at these facts, how do you feel? What thoughts come up? How can you comfort yourself? How can you build trust with yourself in this moment? When we seek reassurance, we are actually abandoning ourselves. How could we choose to stay with ourselves, stay with these uncomfortable emotions, and soothe ourselves? Through the secure method, I teach my clients to recognize that their anxious attachment has been triggered. I teach them to label their feelings. I feel blank. What is it that you are feeling? In one word, how does that feel in your body? Then talk to your anxious self. Of course I feel that fear that they will leave me. I have that thought telling me exactly that. My nervous system is activated because it knows this fear and this belief, but it's not activated because of this thought being true or because I actually did something wrong. For myself, when my anxious attachment gets triggered, I drink cold water or I walk into the bathroom and I splash cold water in my face. I take a few deep breaths and I calm my anxious self. I literally talk back to myself. Hey, anxious Amber, we are okay. We are actually safe. If we don't seek validation or reassurance from other people, we will still be safe because we are here for ourselves. We got our own back. We also seek reassurance from others because other people sometimes are nicer than we are to ourselves. Oftentimes, my clients realize that when they are seeking validation or reassurance, it's because they are in a negative self loop. Their brain is being a complete asshole to them. So instead of learning to stop these thoughts and talk back to them, my clients have learned it's easier to just ignore and shut down those thoughts and have someone else tell us something that will make us feel better. This doesn't solve the problem, though. We need to know what our shame spiral and negative self-talk is, because within these are our true beliefs of ourselves that, until we are aware of, we cannot change. So while you're trying to self-regulate, notice, become the observer again. What is your brain saying about you? What trash talking is it doing? Our brain wants to avoid this trash talk, so it created the behavior of reaching out to get relief from us, relief from our own negative self-talk. We have to learn how to talk back to these thoughts. We have to build self-trust that no matter what happens, we'll no longer talk to ourselves this way. We have to relearn how to show up for ourselves when our anxious attachment is triggered. We have to change this script. This is another important step that I help my clients with. Learning how to show ourselves grace and compassion when our anxious attachment has been triggered, instead of showing up as the bully who wishes they didn't have anxious attachment, so they're going to be an asshole to themselves until it's over. I teach my clients how to talk to themselves during a triggered event, how to stop their brain's negative self-talk, and stop making their anxious attachment cycle the problem. Your anxious attachment cycle is not the problem. And it just doesn't help in these moments to think it's the problem. We have to look at our anxious attachment cycle as just another behavior and another habit that can be changed and rewired, because it is thought work that we need to focus on and do. Our thoughts are creating the feelings that we're having once we know that our anxious attachment cycle is triggered. You can resolve this. I'm going to stop right there and continue part two next week. If you are ready to start this journey, let's go. You do not have to do this alone. I have a 12-week one-on-one coaching program where I help you with exactly what you need. How does this work? First, we meet for a consultation, a free one-hour meeting where you tell me everything that's going on. You tell me what you want to get coaching on, or what you want to get out of coaching, and I design 12 sessions to get you where you want to be. Each client I have has had different goals and different journeys, so I work with each client to tailor their sessions to what they need. If you are just interested in knowing more about coaching and what it looks like, schedule a free consultation call, and I will tell you everything you need to know and answer all of your questions. I will absolutely do that for you. It's a free one-hour consultation. You just have to email me at amberlynn@takingbackherbrain.com and say consultation. And also, if you have questions about this process, Amber, where do I start? Where do I go? Email me any questions you have related to anxious attachment, because soon I'm going to be doing little podcast series answering the questions that you have. So email me at amberlynn@takingbackherbrain.com, and in the subject line, just say podcast question, and then tell me what you need coaching on. What would you like me to help you with? Alrighty, I can't wait to see you next week. And if you're ready to get your coaching started, let's go. Email me. Can't wait to talk to you later.
Thank you for joining me today. You are going to want my free guide on how to calm your anxious attachment. So head over to my Instagram, Taking Back Her Brain, and grab it. If this podcast resonated with you, I would really appreciate if you would rate and share it. If you have any questions or want to know more about how to work with me, I would love to hear from you. You can email me at amberlynn@takingbackherbrain.com. Can't wait to hear from you.